from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Wednesday, October 27th. Coming up, we continue our Who's in Charge of the News series with a look at how COVID-19 misinformation spreads in rural parts of Illinois. That story from Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Democrats in the Illinois Senate last night voted to repeal a decades-old law requiring the parents of teens who seek an abortion to be notified before the procedure. Hannah Meisel has more.
Pro-choice activists have long tried to get rid of Illinois' Parental Notice of Abortion Act, claiming the law puts teens in danger if they don't feel safe telling their parents they plan to have an abortion. Here's State Senator L.G. Sims, a Democrat from Chicago.
We are trying to protect those who cannot turn to a trusted adult and say, I am in trouble, I need guidance.
The statute does allow minors to petition a judge in order to avoid notifying their family if they fear abuse or in cases of rape or incest. Nearly 100% of those requests are granted. But critics of the law say that statistic is meaningless, as many teens may give up seeking help if navigating the court system seems too daunting. I'm Hannah Meisel.
Jelani Day's mother says the LaSalle County Coroner's report indicating her son drowned was an insult to her and her son. Carmen Bolden Day says there's no way her son, an Illinois State University graduate student, would have drowned on his own.
Jelani was an avid swimmer, and an avid swimmer doesn't drown himself. Jelani didn't have depression or mental issues. Those are indicative of someone that has suicidal thoughts. That's not what my son had.
Carmen Bolden Day and members of the Reverend Jesse Jackson's Rainbow Push Coalition led a tour of several spots along the Illinois River near Peru, where they say Jelani Day's car, his belongings, and his body were found in separate locations. The LaSalle County Coroner says his report does not indicate how Day got to the river. Urbana District 116 is the latest area school district to raise pay for its substitute teachers. The Urbana School Board approved the increase last night. Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows reports.
Assistant Superintendent for Human Resources Angie Franklin told the school board that the raise would be the first one for District 116 substitute teachers in more than 4 years.
And we are requesting to raise the day-to-day sub rate from 110 to 130. It's still not going to be the highest in the area. However, it will be more competitive than what we are now.
Franklin says many school districts have been struggling with a shortage of substitutes and other employees for some time, with the pandemic only making things worse. She says the Urbana District will be offering other incentives to attract substitutes, such as free meals in the cafeteria and mentoring specific to the classes they'll be teaching. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Newsroom.
Champaign County public health officials reported 33 new COVID-19 cases yesterday. The number of active cases is at 313, down by 70 over the last week. Carl Hospital in Urbana, which serves several counties, reports 36 patients hospitalized with COVID-19, up slightly from Monday, but still at the lowest number since early August. 16 of those patients are in the ICU. Still to come, a conversation with University of Illinois journalism professor Nikki Usher. She discusses the spread of pandemic misinformation in rural areas with Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes. That's next on 217 Today.
These days, you can find news anywhere, but not all sources are trustworthy. So we at the 21st are asking, who's in charge of the news? Find out where to get news on communities of color, weigh whether new laws can save local journalism, and learn about who owns local TV stations and newspapers. I'm Brian Mackey. Join us all this week as we ask, who's in charge of the news? At 11 a.m. on AM 580 or 6 p.m. on FM 90.9.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. A team at the University of Illinois is investigating how misinformation about COVID-19 spreads in rural areas of the state. Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes spoke with U of I journalism professor Nikki Usher as part of our Who's in Charge of the News Week special coverage.
It's not that Breitbart is zooming in to downstate Illinois and, you know, causing people to reject vaccines, right? That's just not what's happening. It's these interpersonal networks of really strong trust in a place where people know each other. That's helping that, and that's then enacted online. That's helping to create the conditions for how people find out about what's going on. And sometimes what they find out and discuss isn't exactly the most scientifically sound, right? Or can be vaccine resistant, for example, when we're talking about COVID specifically, which is sort of where we intervene. So I want to just explain the context of this vacuum. And then I want to look at sort of the ways in which institutional actors take advantage of this or perpetuate this. So I'm still kind of looking for the best data in the state of Illinois that can really speak to some of these misinformation spirals. Some of what our team is doing, we focused on COVID, but we, at this point, we're interviewing people all over the state, politicians, newspaper publishers, public health department officials. We have looked at the public health department pages for that include all 102 counties of the state of Illinois. We've looked at all of the local newspapers in the state of Illinois that are actually on Facebook, and we've scraped their comments, and we've done that for local television for all of the markets that are sort of getting viewers. And so this step that I wish I would have done but I know is there is how the local news outlets themselves allow misinformation to sort of live in these online comments. And sort of ways perhaps incomplete reporting can provide entry points for inserting national talking points into local concerns. And so that's kind of the next phase. We have the data. We just need to begin really starting to analyze it.
How could you imagine changing local misinformation? Do local news outlets play a role?
The question really to me is there a way to fill these critical information needs that people have around their daily lives in ways that provide them with reliable news and information? And so it might be, you know, building up local media outlets, or it might be just, you know, helping empower school districts to help people understand what the current policies are and what the big debates are, right? And so I think we need to think past legacy media models and think towards what needs do communities have, what things aren't they learning about, and what prompts them to go hunting for information that can give them insights, right? Because there are just things that people don't know about their communities, right? And there was one of the things I found was that there was tremendous interest in case numbers. And I didn't really quite understand why people were so caught up on knowing how many cases of COVID there were, because I was just like, it's just these cases, you know, but it gave them a metric for their communities of like, how bad is this, right? And the data isn't down to zip code, but people will get all freaked out. Like, is there somebody living in my zip code with COVID? I will avoid them. I won't go to the grocery store, right?
That's University of Illinois journalism professor Nikki Usher speaking with Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes. Can you tell the difference between social media posts that are credible or misleading? Take a quiz at illinoisnewsroom.org under our Who's in Charge of the News section. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see mostly sunny skies today with a high of 60 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Eric Stock, Jim Meadows, and Emily Hayes. Music by the Kilbourn Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.